Penguin Random House Audio presents Imbeciles, The Supreme Court, American Eugenics, and the Sterilization of Carrie Buck by Adam Cohen. Read for you by Dan Warren. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Romans 1:22. Introduction. On May 2, 2002, the governor of Virginia offered a sincere apology for his state's participation in eugenics. In an effort to improve the genetic quality of its population, Virginia forcibly sterilized at least 7,450 unfit people between 1927 and 1979, more than any other state but California. The eugenics movement was a shameful effort in which state government never should have been involved, the governor declared. We must remember the Commonwealth's past mistakes in order to prevent them from recurring. Virginia's apology came on the 75th anniversary of the United States Supreme Court's ruling in Buck v. Bell. In that dark legal landmark, the court upheld eugenic sterilization and allowed the state to sterilize Carrie Buck, a young woman wrongly labeled feeble-minded. The court that decided Buck v. Bell included some of the most distinguished men in the annals of American law. The Chief Justice was William Howard Taft, who had served as president before ascending to the bench. Louis Brandeis, the towering progressive, who had made his name as the people's attorney, signed on to the majority opinion, as did Oliver Wendell Holmes, Jr., widely considered to be one of the greatest legal minds, if not the greatest, in American history. It was the legendary Oliver Wendell Holmes who wrote the 1927 ruling, and he included it in one of the most brutal aphorisms in American jurisprudence. Holmes, the Harvard-educated scion of several of Boston's most distinguished families, was scornful of the poorly educated Carrie and her working-class mother. Based on scant information about the two Buck women and about Carrie's daughter, who was a small child at the time, he famously declared, "Three generations of imbeciles are enough." Holmes's opinion for an 8-to-1 majority did not merely uphold Virginia's sterilization law. It delivered a clarion call to Americans to identify those among them who should not be allowed to reproduce and to sterilize them in large numbers. The nation must sterilize those who sap the strength of the state, Holmes insisted, to prevent our being swamped with incompetence. In words that could have been torn from the pages of a eugenics tract, he declared, "It is better for all the world if instead of waiting to execute degenerate offspring for crime or to let them starve for their imbecility, society can prevent those who are manifestly unfit from continuing their kind." The United States in the 1920s was caught up in a mania. The drive to use newly discovered scientific laws of heredity to perfect humanity. Modern eugenics, which had emerged in England among followers of Charles Darwin, had crossed the Atlantic and become a full-fledged intellectual craze. The United States suddenly had a new enemy, bad germplasm, and those who carried it. The unfit, the eugenicists warned, threatened to bring down not only the nation, but the whole human race. America's leading citizens led the charge to save humanity. John D. Rockefeller, Jr., the world's wealthiest man, funded scientific research into how what he called the defective human could be bred out of the population. Alexander Graham Bell became chairman of the board of scientific directors of the Eugenics Record Office in Cold Spring Harbor, New York, the leading organization advocating eugenic sterilization. And former President Theodore Roosevelt took to the pages of a national magazine to insist that the unfit must be forbidden to leave offspring behind them. Prominent scientists formed organizations to research and promote eugenics, with names like the Committee to Study and to Report on the Best Practical Means of Cutting Off the Defective Germplasm in the American Population. Social reformers embraced biology as the fastest route to their goal of a better...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?